Give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic on the Thanksgiving Eve, 6:01 on Wednesday night. Welcome to 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Devon Gibbons with you until 9:45, leading you into Sixers basketball, the final game of the six-game road trip. The guys wrap things up in San Francisco tonight at Golden State. Hot team in the league, best record. The hottest team is the Phoenix Suns, but the best record overall, 15-2, are the Golden State Warriors. So we have to lead you into that one tonight. We'll get into that later in the show and where the Sixers are as we lead into the game. Get into some more Ben Simmons stuff. Dwight Howard, his former teammate, spoke publicly about him in the GQ article. And we'll get into that side of the discussion. But we have plenty to talk about. It is Thanksgiving Eve. It's the day before everyone gets together and celebrates and gives thanks to the family and the friends and all that you are doing out there. So we will certainly incorporate that into the discussion. And Dylan was with me last night, and Dylan and I talked about something that we saw on social media that we wanted to share with you today as a conversation piece of what we need to do tonight in discussing the Thanksgiving dishes. You know, we like to have fun with stuff like that. And you heard Ty and Jen and Connor doing a great job as always. And I think we got something here. We've kind of put it out there a little bit. I just saw Dan Fritz. He commented on it on Twitter. So it's out there. It's public. We will talk about it, and we will have some fun tonight as we discuss the Birds, the Sixers, and get in on the Flyers. They play as well on a back-to-back night, this time in Carolina, trying to pick up a win after falling last night to Tampa. So a lot to get into. We have plenty of time to discuss all of those things, from the Sixers to the Flyers to the Phillies, if you want to go that direction as well. The Union, whatever is on your mind, we can do that here tonight. So let's start off with the Birds, though. We will get to the Sixers. We already have phone calls. We want to talk some hoops, so we will definitely do that. We will not ignore those phone calls. So the Birds, when the schedule came out, everyone looked at it and saw how top-heavy it was. A fourth-place schedule based on what they did a season ago, and a favorable matchup like the one they have next weekend, not this coming weekend, against the New York Jets because of the second-place schedule that they do have. So we know what the schedule is. We've been looking at it since the schedule came out, the release, knowing the order, how heavy it was in the beginning. If you can get to this spot, by the time you get to the final six, you'll be in a good place. Well, right now, folks, they're in a good place at 5-6. It's crazy to say, with all that happened with the head coach, who is the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator, and how he has devised things with his defense, and probably losing games through the first 11 based on them not doing things they should have done. The run game being more incorporated into things to help out Jalen Hurts, not having him throw the football 35-plus times a few of those games. Defensively, not playing 20 yards back with your secondary, leaving the middle of the field and right in front open with the work that the opponents, good opponents that we knew in a top-heavy schedule, you could not do that to, get beat underneath. You understood the concept. Get beat underneath. Don't let any big plays happen behind you where they're not getting into the end zone. I get it. It wasn't working. You needed to figure that out immediately and make changes. They did not do that. So as we look at it, we know the schedule now. We know the final six, starting with New York, the Giants this weekend, the Jets the following week, bye week. Then Washington, the Giants again, and the Dallas Cowboys to wrap things up. And you're looking at these final six games. Now, 5-6, they have to win a certain number of games to be right there for that final wild card spot. I think we all agree on that, right? Okay, cool. We agree on that. Right now, they are currently 5-6, second behind the Dallas Cowboys in the division. In terms of the playoffs and how that goes, the Minnesota Vikings, with their win over Green Bay, they are in the sixth spot. The New Orleans Saints, who the Eagles just took care of their business, are sitting in the seventh spot, holding that one at this time. Los Angeles at 5, Dallas 4, Tampa 3, Green Bay 2, Arizona 1. You're in a fight, it seems, to be with Minnesota, New Orleans, San Fran. Behind you, Carolina and Washington. We'll stop there and leave it at that. So you have two games against Washington. You've already beaten the Carolina Panthers. San Fran, you lost the one game to them. you just took care of business against the Saints, and you do not have to play Minnesota until next year as a 2022 opponent. So that leaves us in looking at this one and saying, once again, with Minnesota and their schedule, the Saints, the 49ers, and even the Panthers, maybe even Washington as well, with their 4-6 record, six games, ideally, they can only drop two of them. Where are they? I don't know. The division games are always tough, no matter the record of you or the opponent. We always see close games from New York playing Dallas when Dallas is much better. Vice versa, the Eagles and Washington, when the Eagles are much better, Washington always gives them a fight. We know how it goes in division games. We see it all over the league. It's not just here. Look at Green Bay and Minnesota again. Look at what just happened there, where Green Bay, yes, they are the better team, but they were the favorite going into Minnesota. Minnesota beats them 34-31 in that matchup. Not ideal, right? Right. We know how it goes with division games. But as we sit here, seeing the play of Jalen Hurts, where he doesn't have to tear up things through the air right now, that's not who he is. That's not what the offense presents now as a run-heavy, run-first offense. That's not what they're doing right now. What they're doing is using their offense as the identity to establish things on the offensive side, eat up a lot of the time of possession, not allow those extra possessions for the opponent. Therefore, they can walk away with the win like they did 40-29 over the New Orleans Saints last Sunday. Now, if you look at the Giants making changes with their offensive coordinator as if it was just his fault. It wasn't just his fault. Jason Garrett, we already knew who Jason Garrett was, and they knew it too. They hired him. That's their fault. That's their mistake. The next shoe to drop, if they continue to falter, will be Joe Judge, because how much time are they going to give him? How much time are they going to give Daniel Jones? And Daniel Jones does have good games against the Philadelphia Eagles. But as we sit here and we get ready for the start of this six-game run that we all knew what it was and all felt like it was going to be so important at the end of the season for the Eagles, well, guess what? Lo and behold, folks, it is very important, these final six games. So I ask you, with the final six that you know they have remaining on their schedule, two against New York, one against the Jets, two against Washington, and one against the Dallas Cowboys that could mean nothing, seeding at the top, seeding stuck at number three where they are, may not mean a thing at the end of the year. There's a good chance with the Birds, three games at home, three games on the road, that they can win four games and maybe get nine and be right there sneaking into the postseason. I don't think they can lose any more than the two games that we think of. You beat the Jets, that's a given, right? You feel like they're going to at least split with Washington. Dylan said he feels they should take both New York Giants games, and then you have the Dallas Cowboys. So, not knowing, of course, how it plays out, but looking at the way that they're playing, are you scared of Daniel Jones this weekend? Probably not. Even with Freddie Kitchens taking over as the offensive coordinator, sure, he can get some things done. He can figure out a better way to use him. And he's playing for his job, maybe. So he's going to pull out all stops and get as creative as he can with Daniel Jones, both with his arms. We've seen him beat the Eagles with his legs. Saquon Barkley, maybe get Kenny Galladay more involved this weekend against the Eagles. They're going to do everything they can to throw at the Eagles and try to win at home in this game this weekend, especially after getting smacked by Tampa on Monday night, and then knowing that they're probably playing for their jobs as well. But with that, they can only afford to lose two games of the final six. So I'm asking you, I think they can only lose two. I ask you, what should their record be to close out, to get to whatever magic number you believe it's going to take to get into the playoffs? I think they're only going to get to nine. Does that make them to the playoffs? I don't know. I don't know. I really don't. Because you think nine should get you in with the 17 games, 9-8. They get in. They're the seventh seed. They're going to be playing on the wild card weekend. All right, cool. Great. Get the experience. It's going to be fun. If they go 3-3, do they still make it in? Right now, I believe for many of us, it's either 3-3, 4-2, and you might even go as heavy as 5-1. I even heard Ty and Mike and Jen talking about it yesterday, where they mentioned 11 games, where maybe not getting to 11, but hey, why not shoot for it, right? winning all six games. Get all six to close out the season. You get 11 games. You're on a great run. Your momentum. Now you're looking at an 8-game winning streak going into the playoffs. Who knows where you'll be? But right now, folks, I say that they can lose no more than 2 games as we get ready for the postseason, trying to get ready for the postseason with the Philadelphia Eagles. Will they be a part of it as we kickstart these final six, these anticipated final six that many of us have paid attention to the schedule for just these 6 games and how important we thought they would be. They are very important, and it kicks off this weekend. I want to know from you, what's the number that they need to reach to get into the playoff conversation? Is 9 enough? Can they maybe get in with the 8-9 record, or do they need to get to 10 in order to get into the playoffs and get one of those wild card spots? It's probably not going to happen of catching the Dallas Cowboys, who are 7-3 right now, and their schedule looks pretty good too. They have the Raiders on Thursday. Although you might be without CeeDee Lamb, you're already without Amari Cooper. But looking at that, you say, hey, it's probably going to be good to go, no problem. The Saints, Dallas should beat them. It should beat Washington, the Giants, and Washington as well. So you're not going to catch the Dallas Cowboys, in my opinion. It's all about the wild card spot. So I ask you, as you ride around your last minute run, going to the market, going to some of the other stores that we know are out there that sell food too, those 2 big ones that we know about specifically, you're riding around getting your last minute things, the turkey, the baked goods that you need to make your pies and your cakes and your cookies and whatever else you're going to have. What's the number the Eagles have to go through these final 6 games in order to challenge and or make the playoffs? 610-632-0975. I say 4-2 as they get this one started against the Giants in New Jersey at the Meadowlands. What about you? Again, 610-632-0975. And we'll get to the Simmons stuff. We're going to get to Jim as he wants to talk about that. And I have to ask you this, as it is Thanksgiving Eve and everyone's going to get together tomorrow. Hopefully everyone has a great time, safe, fun time with your family and your friends. Got to ask you this. Saw something here yesterday on social media, on Twitter. And Dylan and I were doing the show following the end of crease. We were following the Flyers last night. Flyers fall 4-0 to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Again, they have a game tonight in Carolina. It's 2-game road trip in Florida. They have the Panthers tonight. So, saw this thing here where in Utah, it is very popular, this one dish, this one side dish that they have as a dessert. I presume it's a dessert because it's a pie. But it's not a normal pie, folks. You may have seen it. You may have gagged at it, as I did, as Dylan did as well, and frowned your face. They have what they call a cranberry pickle pie in Utah. Seems to be very popular. It's a very famous thing that they do out there in Utah. They enjoy it, and I would imagine that whether you're a cranberry sauce person or a pickle person, and certainly a pie person, there are many of you out there, that's not a combination of something that you would like to enjoy, or as we bring it up, or as you saw it on social media, that you're bringing to your family and saying, hey, you know what? You know what I thought was a good idea? This cranberry pickle pie that I saw on social media yesterday. You're not going to bring it to your table. So, your thoughts on that. But what's something that you, as a family, you, your grandmother, your grandfather, your mother, your father, your siblings, whoever, you, your aunt, whatever, your kids, the most creative dish that you guys place onto your Thanksgiving table as everyone gathers for your family feast on Thursday. That's creative. The cranberry pickle pie. But it's also disgusting. One, I don't like cranberry sauce. 2, I don't like pickles. 3, I'm not a big pie eater. I only eat sweet potato pie. I don't eat any of the other ones. So all 3 right there, I'm out on. But I think most of us would agree that is just disgusting to have the cranberry and the pickle pie put together. That said, on Thanksgiving Eve, getting ready for the big day tomorrow, I ask you, the most creative dish or sweets, whatever it is, that you guys have that maybe none of us have on our tables for this great feast that we will have together tomorrow. All right? All right. My family, I can't think of one that was ever that outlandish where I didn't think it was on other people's tables. So I really don't have one. I don't. Dylan will tell us his, and we'll go from there. We'll get yours. We'll get everybody else involved in this and have this fun discussion tonight, because I can't imagine, again, that it is the cranberry and pickle pie that you have on your plate, on your table. Maybe you have something else that's just as weird, but right now, that's the weirdest. But I want to know from you. We always talk about the stuff that belongs and the stuff that doesn't belong. Well, this definitely does not belong on anyone's table. It's a big thing in Utah. So we ask you again, something that is creative on your table that maybe others that have come to your table in the past, or you brought it to someone else's table, traveling to a household, and it was a concoction that you put together that somehow worked out, but you've never seen it before and maybe got some, I don't know about that one, but okay, type of dishes. Or, again, a pastry, sweets, whatever it might be. All right, 610-632-0975. We're leading you into Sixers Warriors tonight, 10 o'clock tip, pregame coverage. I'll have that for you starting at 9:50. Tom McGinnis on the call. The final game of a six-game road trip where they are currently 2-3, trying to get to 500. With this victory over the Golden State Warriors, who are 15-2 right now on the season. Not going to be easy. Not going to be easy. Let's see if they can get it done. We'll see if they get some of the guys back for this final game. Harris, Green, Curry. We'll see what's up with that. And some news out there, too, about Joel Embiid that we'll tell you about a little bit later on. All right, 610-632-0975. Let's start off in Woodbury with Brian tipping things off on this Wednesday night. What's up, Brian, on 97.5? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm driving into work. I'm good.
Cool. Good. Hopefully you get down early, man, so you don't have to be in there all night.
Yeah, it's not bad. I get done at 7, so it's not bad. I go home and sleep, and then Thanksgiving. It's cool.
Okay, cool.
So I just want to talk about the Eagles. I'm really excited about the fact that they've actually committed to the running game. I mean, they've given me, as you know, when I call, I'm not the most confident person about the Eagles lately.
Right.
But they've actually given me some reason to give them like some little trust that they actually know what they're doing, that they've listened to the fans, even though it took forever for them to run the football. The one problem that I had, though, was like Jalen Hurts, we have to know whether he's capable of throwing the ball down the field, because what we've seen from him so far, I think, shows that he's not really capable of doing that. And when defenses commit to stopping the run game, which they're going to slow us down at some point, I mean, we're going to have to depend on Jalen Hurts to make throws. And right now, I don't really think he's capable of doing that. So do you think it's a detriment to him right now, the fact that we're leaning on the running game? Because we're not really, I mean, he's not really developing into like a quarterback that we need him to be for next year and the following year.
Yeah, so right now I don't think it's a problem based on the matchups that they're going to have for the remainder of the season. But yes, in the long run, I do think it's going to be important for him to do so. Brian, I'm with you. I've talked about it. I said it on the pregame show with Derek Gunn. When they started to use the run game, he's only having 107 pass yards, 114 pass yards.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, are we going to see the development of the quarterback too by throwing the football? Not just him running and having the run game working for him, but right now it's not a problem for them because they are winning. So I am willing today, Brian, against the Giants and the Jets and the Washington football team, and who knows what's going to happen against the Cowboys in the final game, to say that I'll take it as it is right now, and I will give him next year too, but he needs to be a better passer next year in order for us to figure out and make a decision on if he is a franchise quarterback or just simply the quarterback going forward.
Yeah, and the other problem with that is, Quez Watkins, to me, like, we have to know whether he's our second receiver, because Jalen Reagor is useless. So
yeah,
it's really hard to get a gauge on Watkins, because his potential is big plays down the field, which Hurts doesn't do. So I really have no idea whether it's Watkins or whether it's the quarterback. You know, I don't know, I think that's another problem. I mean, I want them to make the playoff run, obviously, but I just think Hurts' development is way more crucial to us than a playoff run this year, I guess, is the way I look at it. But, that's just the way I look at it. But
No, I'm with you, man. And before we let you go, Brian, I know I just sprung it on you, But with Thanksgiving, you said you're going to go home in the morning and take a nap and get up, but you got some good dishes that you have. Is there one that maybe is a little creative that others don't have on their table that your family does?
I mean, I don't do anything like creative wise, like you said, like you personally. But like my favorite, like hot blueberry pie with vanilla ice cream. Like that's my favorite dessert.
Hot blueberry pie with vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, vanilla ice cream. Yeah,
okay.
You mix it together. It's good.
All right, let me write these down because I wanna make sure I have all this stuff down. Hot blueberry pie. I got it. All right, well, listen, Brian, have a great night at work, man. Drive safely, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thanks, man. You too, Bob.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Brian in Woodbury talking about the hot blueberry pie with the ice cream. Okay. Hot blueberry pie with the ice cream. That's not, I don't think that's too crazy, but I'm sure we'll get some other ones. Anyway, I didn't ask Brian. Brian, call back and tell Dylan if you would eat that pie with the pickle and the cranberry. Cranberry pickle is what they call it. All right. 610-632-0975. I do believe it is important for us to find out if Jalen Hurts is a quarterback as well as a running quarterback as well. We know that's the threat there. Is he a threat using his arm as well to beat these teams? Brian's right. At some point, you are going to have to find out if he can beat other teams with his arm. Kenny, we have to find out at some point. Right now, it looks like he can certainly beat them with a sprinkle of his arm, but most certainly his legs for sure. And then that's where things are with Jalen Hurts. Right now, with the final six, may not have to do it. He might do it. We might get an answer. But as of right now, I don't think they have to against the Giants and the Jets, Washington, and again, we to be determined of what's going on with the Dallas Cowboys in Week 18 against that final game of the season, regular season. 610-632-0975. And we need to know from you as well what number you believe they are going to have to go as far as record-wise in these final six to make it to the postseason. 610-632-0975. Hot blueberry pie with ice cream on it. And I think that's kind of normal. That's a dessert, and he just puts ice cream on it. That's all right. I think that's okay. So we want to know if you will eat the cranberry pickle pie that's popular in Utah. I say no. Dylan says no. We'll get to Dylan and get his thoughts later on. But everybody else, 610-632-0975.
By the way, I think I might have found something even more disgusting.
Someone
than
called and told you something?
No, I was looking in the comment section of the Twitter thing, and someone said, some Utahan said, we don't eat that here. What you should have talked about is this. I'll tell you what it is in the break, and then
right,
the rest of you
we'll
can
talk
hear it
about
the
it on
side.
The other side. All right, 610-632-0975. And would you eat that cranberry pickle pie? I would not. How about you? We'll get into that. Talk Birds, talk some Sixers later on as well, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Gibbons. 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 6:32, 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Gibbons with you on this Wednesday night, the Thanksgiving Eve. Hope you are having a good one, driving around, making your last minute runs to pick up some food in these crowded stores. I know they are. Don't try. I actually had to go this morning early, and I went about 9:30 to the market just to grab two things: a cake and a pie that was requested. And that was all I wanted. Walked in, long line, grabbed my stuff, got in the long line, self-checkout, in and out. Still took about 15 minutes, but I was in and out. I can only imagine what it looks like right now while you all are riding around. So be safe, be careful, no fighting. Everybody, share, get in line, say, give thanks. thank you for letting me step into this line right here, or whatever it might be. Just be careful out there. And I got something to pick on Brian Westbrook about another food choice. How is he like, how are we so close? It's like my brother, and we fight so much about food. And I got to get on this one. I'll explain it in just a second. But the 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family & Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. All right, we're talking about the Birds, of course, final six games, what their record needs to be to get into the playoffs, and what do you believe it will be based on these games? You know how tough division games are. Washington hasn't quit yet. New York hasn't quit either. We'll see how it plays out. What's the record need to be? What's the record you believe it will actually be? And will they make it into the postseason? I think they have to go 4-2, get to 9-8 to sneak in there with that seventh spot. Maybe that seventh spot. It's going to be bunched up, though. Some good teams in there. San Fran playing well. Minnesota, big win over Green Bay. So we'll see how this all plays out. But let me get this one before we get to the phones. Everybody there, 610-632-0975. We'll get to Twitter as well. Brian Westbrook, my brother. He says this, and he's put this in bold with two exclamations point. All cap letters. Food fact. That means pay attention, people. Marshmallows, again, all caps, are not a topping for the sweet potatoes. Don't try to be creative. Stick to the basics. Hashtag Thanksgiving, hashtag dinner. Now, I will say this. Growing up, in my family's household, whether it was my mother's, my grandmother's, my aunt's, my neighbors, none of them put marshmallows on the sweet potatoes. However, age 17, I guess it was for me, when I met a certain someone in my life, right? met her family, and I was introduced to the marshmallows all the way back then, where I haven't had them for 17 years. I frowned at it, tried it. I like sweet potatoes. I like marshmallows. Okay, I'll try it. I had it for the next every holiday of my life going forward. It's fine. It's fine. So as far as Brian saying they are not a topping for the sweet potatoes, a lot of things are not a topping for a lot of things. You try it. That's not outrageous. Knowing that I didn't like it at first and now I'm used to it. It's a part of a meal now. He's wrong. Marshmallows, there are. It doesn't have to be a topping. But if it is a topping, it doesn't need. What does he have here? 9 exclamation points in his point. So Brian would be wrong on this one. It doesn't need to be, but it can. If I had to go in caps like he did, it can be on the sweet potatoes. It's not a problem. Brian Westbrook, my brother, happy Thanksgiving. I'm sure we'll be talking later or tomorrow. 610-632-0975. What's a dish for you that's on your table that may be a little different than other folks' tables as well? We start off this one with Mike and Del Rand, then we got Rob and Jules and Spider and everybody else. So let's go to Mike here next on the Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Devon, what's going on?
Happy Thanksgiving, man.
Yeah, man, you too. I hope it's a safe and happy one with you and your family.
Thank you.
I think 10-7. 10-7 has to, right? Is that 11?
Yes.
Yeah, 10-7.
So they have to win 5.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, though. I think they're winning all of them.
You think they win out?
I said it earlier in the week. I still believe it. I know that division games are hard. I know people are going to say I sound crazy. I just feel like the teams at this point of the season that seem to be finding who they are and their identities seem to do well. And we just happen to have the easiest schedule the rest of the way. I don't know if that Dallas game is going to mean anything. I hope it does. I hope it means something because Dallas could unravel. Their Decembers are historically pretty crap. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to win out. I think they're going to win out. I think they're going to make the playoffs. And I could be super thankful for that.
Okay, but look, real fast, when you say the division games are tough, Washington has won 2 in a row as well, and they played some good games in these last two. Taylor Heineke whatever they're doing, they figured something out with him. And you know Ron Rivera is a good coach. So
right.
Do you look at that as could be one of those losses, even though you said they went out? Could that be a loss?
Maybe. I mean, it could be. I just don't think it's going to be. I think those teams are bigger dumpster fires than we are. I think this team can figure out ways to control the game. And I think Nick Sirianni and Gannon are learning a lot as these weeks have gone on. But as far as the dish goes, like I told you, I can't out this dish because everyone's going to know. No, I can't even say what it is.
I can't even say it.
I'll tell you what I like, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever heard of this, but my wife starts this time of year. It's called Christmas Crack. You ever have it?
Christmas Crack. What is it?
So it's pretzels with dripped over chocolate, caramel, and marshmallows frozen and then thawed out and let you sit it out. And it's like a snack, dude. Oh, man. Forget about it. Christmas Crack is where
Christmas
it's at.
Christmas Crack.
Gomez!
All right. Real fast, Mike.
Yo.
Would you eat the cranberry pickle pie that's in Utah?
Dude, I won't eat pickles or cranberries. There's no way. Have a good holiday, brother. Go Bears.
You too, man. Appreciate it, Mike. Pickles or cranberry. He's with me. That's being left on the table. You guys can mess with that. I don't want it. All right. He says they're going to win out. I don't think they went out. I just don't think they went out. I don't. I think they win 4 of 6. They lose 2. I don't know where it is, but I'm respecting more of what Washington can do against the Birds, and maybe that Dallas game where it might mean something, as Mike pointed out, and maybe Dallas wins at the end of the year and they are stuck at 9-8 and hope that they can get in. They do get some help from elsewhere, but handle your business. That's in front of you right there. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you on this Wednesday night, the eve of Thanksgiving, talking about some food mixed in with the sports conversation as well. And he said Christmas crack. It is pretzels with chocolate, caramel. Did he say marshmallows? He said marshmallows. And put it in the freezer. I've never had that. I've never had that. I've had the chocolate covered pretzel. Those are great, but not like Mike's wife puts it together with the Christmas crack. But okay, 610-632-0975. Brian Westbrook is tripping, saying marshmallows are not a topping for sweet potatoes. It doesn't have to be. They're good in itself. But you can add the marshmallows. It's not a problem. It's okay. No need to start a fight. Rob next in Philly on the Fanatic. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Devon. I want to talk to you about Mikal Bridges. I had season tickets before I moved to Punta Cana for work. And
you moved to Punta Cana for work?
Yeah, I do baseball analytics in Latin America with TrackMan.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I've been in, like, so far this year, Venezuela, Medellin, twice in the last 4 weeks, and I live in Punta Cana.
Oh, that's great, man.
I met you a couple times. I used to be a baseball agent, but I changed. Anyway.
Oh, right. I remember.
Yeah. I met you at Sugar House and also behind the concourse and when you were doing a show.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, so, like, for, like, 2 years, you know, I followed Villanova basketball, and I was sitting with my buddy Roger, and he always used to tell me, come on, can you please stop talking about Mikal Bridges, because I was like, Mikal Bridges is the guy we need. He's the guy we need. Right, so I was just reading an article in one of the Arizona papers where I think one of the players, maybe the point guard they have, was Chris talking Paul. About, yeah, Chris Paul, was saying, like, Mikal Bridges is, like, the third star, right, of the Phoenix Suns. Like, he's arrived as a third star. And then it's just been killing me because, like, basically I look at the Sixers box scores and I look at the Phoenix Suns box scores looking at Mikal Bridges, and he always has, like, a great plus-minus. And, you know, Brett Brown said, we're star hunting, right? Like, he had the star there the whole time. Like, it's the most frustrating thing in the world. You know, when you're a big Villanova fan, you're like, talking the ear off of the guy you're sitting next to, that we need this guy. They draft him, and then they trade him. And we had the third star. And he's making $100 million, or, like, $85 million less than Tobias Harris. He needs a better player.
Yeah, he, well, of course, I'm biased, but
I know he's your cousin.
But here's what's important.
He's a better player than Tobias Harris.
I appreciate that. The fact that he's worked hard. The fact that his teammates feel the way that they do, knowing that he has a respect around the league, where not me talking to players, just you see he works out. If you haven't seen, he works out with Damian Lillard in the offseason.
Yeah, and they said that like,
they love him.
Said that, like, first team, all defense, automatic.
He should have made it last year. He did not.
Yeah. He was like eighth. And then he also said you can't get by him, like with his reach and his lateral quickness. Yeah. And he's like the best cutter in the league. It's unbelievable how we had him. And if we had him now, can you imagine how good our defense would be?
Yeah,
like,
I could.
We wouldn't be talking about Ben Simmons.
I could, man. And my response now is like a mock response. It's a response that I go to all the time.
I would say this the whole time.
He likes Phoenix, man. He loves Phoenix. The family loves Phoenix. And I'm just happy that he's playing in a organization right now that is a winning organization. I hope the stuff with Sarver figures itself out, but right now, he's in a great spot,
man. Being selfish, I'm a Sixers fan. I want to see
him. Fair enough. I can't tell you you're wrong, man.
I was saying it ahead of time. So, like, anybody that's going to say, yeah. No, I have witnesses that I told.
You weren't alone. We took many a phone call and all that stuff, man, when the situation happened, or in pre-draft, when a lot of people wanted him. And look, Michael Porter Jr., Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, all those players that were around him, all of them would have fit, including Mikhail. And
he's a Philly kid, right? Yeah. And hello?
Yeah, I'm listening. Yeah.
Oh, and one other thing is just like, I'm going to continue to watch Phoenix Suns games.
You should.
And look at their box scores and appreciate him as a player that played here in Villanova.
They play a fun brand of basasketball, Rob, and he's playing well there. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Do you have a Thanksgiving dish that's a little maybe different than others? First of all, would you eat that cranberry pickle pie?
Well, my uncle, he's not alive anymore, but he used to make this thing called Simmons, which was like carrots with like melted sugar, and like it was just really sweet, and it was like my favorite dish of all time, and like I won't have that anymore, but I'll always remember him during Thanksgiving.
So. Sorry, of course, that he's no longer here, but glad that you remember him the way you do, not just for his food, but just for being a great uncle.
And the Eagles, I agree with you, 4-2.
Right? You got it, Rob. Yeah. Thanks, man. Good luck over there, man. Punta Cana, we'll see you when you get back over here to the States. 610-632-0975, hanging out with you. Just look, man, I don't know. So it was when he was in high school and I first started talking about him on the air, and when he was at Villanova, it was easier to talk about him because they were playing, or a lot of people knew of him, many did not. And obviously I wanted to help as best as I could with pushing his name out there a little bit more. I always say it, he did the work. All I did was be a family member and pump up my cousin. And it just so happens that he's turned into a all-time great at his university here in town, and has done some really good things in his first couple of years in the NBA. I'm proud of him. I'm happy to be his family. I've seen the work. I know what type of work he's put in. He has a great support system with his family, his mom, his dad, his brothers, right? Everybody. I'm on the dad's side, on his mom's side. He has so much support, and everybody, you know, everyone has a hand in something. It was easier for me to talk about him when he was paving that road to get to where he is now than it is to talk about things now when I get calls like that from Rob saying the Sixers made a mistake. I agree with you, Rob. They made a mistake. At this point, my answer always now going forward is we love Phoenix, man. We love Phoenix. Year three, he's in the NBA Finals. Year four, right? He's established in the league a little bit, still improving as a player every day. And I hope that he continues to get better and better and better. The recognition is out there. His peers respect what he does. So I love that. And it's great to watch him on the stage that he is. I follow the box score too, Rob. And I watch every game that I can with my ability to watch the games, you know, like I do. So I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I don't have to do anything anymore except for just support him and root for him to win and have success in the league. I don't have to do anything anymore. He did all the work anyway, but Just my little small part that I did. I don't know what else to say anymore. You all know. It's my family. I love them. Proud of them. Happy that he's having success. And the Eagles are ruining my trip to go see him play in early January that I might have had planned. Thank you, Eagles. 610-632-0975. Hanging out with you. Talking birds. We'll get to the Sixers as well. And, of course, some food things because it is the day before Thanksgiving. So we want to know what you guys may have on your table that's a little different that you love that maybe we may not have had, like this cranberry pickle pie that seems to be ridiculous. All right. And by the way, people always tell me stop apologizing for him being your family and just whatever. I'm not apologizing. I'm just saying that I don't have to really talk about it anymore. He did his job. He did his work. I did my part. It's over with. He's doing his thing. I wear my Phoenix Suns stuff. By the way, when the Sixers play the Phoenix Suns in February, when they're here, I will be off. So you won't be hearing me. No pregame, no postgame. I'll be there watching the game with the family and checking them out. So don't expect me to be here on that night. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Julian in Delaware next here on the Fanatic. What's up, Jules? 7-5. And Dylan, you can go ahead and handle that and find out what he wanted to talk about. We'll talk about it on the air as Julian tells Dylan exactly what he wanted to talk about here tonight about Ben Simmons. We'll get to Ben Simmons. We will get there. We will get to him. And we will get to him shortly because there are some things that we need to discuss about Ben Simmons. Spider in South Philly. What's up, Spider?
Oh, I'm great, man. It's a wonderful night. How about yourself?
Oh, man, it's the day before. You know, everybody's all good.
Bro, that's what's up, man. First off, first, man, listen. No, 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 no. No marshmallows in the candy yams, man. Come on, man. That's Martha Stewart right there.
It's not bad, man. It's not bad. Have you had it?
I almost tried it one time. I just looked at it and was like, no.
So, Spider, I think you know me by now by listening to me on here, how picky I am with my food. And
right.
A lot of stuff I will not try. I just won't do it because I'm like, that doesn't go together. I thought that it didn't go together. It's fine. It's more than fine.
I don't know, man. I might have a couple of shots first before I try this tomorrow. Because I know it's going to be some around tomorrow. Because it's a thing now. Everybody wants to do it now.
It's more than fine. And again, I was introduced to it all the way back in 1995.
Yeah, I heard. You said you were 17?
Yeah, so I didn't have it before, that combination. I didn't have that. And I tried it. And I was like, all right, it's not that bad. And I had it every year after that, and it was fine. It's still fine.
Wow. Yeah, I thought it was just some new stuff came out in the 2000s.
Nah.
People started trying.
Nah. I thought it was new then. I'm like, what is this?
Man. All right, now my quick bird topic. Listen, like I told you last week, I don't think we're going to make the playoffs. But if we do, listen, man, let the chips fall where they may. All right, and we wind up in the Super Bowl again. I'll take another hot, lucky streak. I'll take it.
All right, well, that's good. But in order for them to make the playoffs with six games to go, what number do you think they have to get to?
To be perfectly honest,
they're 5-6. They have six games left.
We got to lose one of the games to Washington. So I'm going to go 4-2, possibly 5-1 with, you know, that Dallas game. If it doesn't mean anything to them, we're going to win that. So 5-1, but possibly 4-2, but possibly 5-1. Because I think we're going to sweep the Giants. It's the Washington that I don't think we can sweep.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm with you. I don't think it's a Giants, a Washington thing where they can't sweep them. The Giants will find out. I think they're a little tougher, but now they have their issues.
Hey, Cupcake, man, we got them.
All right, fair enough. I like it. You got something that's on your table, though.
Hey, listen, my favorite thing, man, is the baked macaroni and the candy yams. That's my favorite. I can eat that without anything else, man.
All right.
My favorite,
so
too.
That's not creative, but that's a norm.
Yeah, the creative stuff, man, listen, I don't get into all that. Give me the good usuals, man. Yeah. I don't need none of that new fancy stuff.
I got you. All right, well, enjoy that usual, the good usual that you just talked about.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate it, man. Have a good holiday.
You too.
Thank you. 610-632-0975. We'll get to Mitch when we get back to start off the 7 o'clock hour. Everybody else that's there again, 610-632-0975. Just simply asking what the record needs to be in the final six. They are 5-6. They have six games remaining. I say 4-2 to get the 9-8 and sneak into the seventh and final wild card spot in the NFC. What about you? What's a realistic number that you believe that they are going to meet, a number that they should meet and make it into the postseason? 610-632-0975. We'll talk about the boys a little bit as well on the hardwood, because they have a game tonight against the Golden State Warriors, a closeout game, a getaway game out there in San Francisco against the Golden State Warriors. And that will be right here at 10 o'clock on 97.5 The Fanatic. Coverage begins at 9:50 with the pregame here as well, and I will be handling that. We'll come right back. We'll take your phone calls on the Birds and get into the Sixers a little bit and talk more about the cranberry pickle pie and maybe something that you have on your table that's creative that you and your family likes as well. Right here until 10, 9:45, sorry, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, 702-975 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens with you until 9:45. Sixers Warriors tonight, live from, what is it, Chase Arena out there in Golden State? I think it's Chase Arena out there in Golden State. So that will get underway at 10 o'clock. The pregame coverage at 9:50. That will be me and you. So we'll have that for you right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. All right? All right. 610-632-0975. Talking Birds and looking at, by the way, their offense. They're eighth right now in points per game. 16th in total yards and second in rushing yards for the season now, with the way that things have been going. They've been tremendous on the ground. We've all been talking about it. We know it. We're not breaking anything new here. Any news when we talk about something like that. They've just been tremendous. They've been really good and really, really good with what they've been able to do overall during the stretch. Three of their last four, and with three of their last four, they've been able to just simply put it on these teams. And put it on these teams, they have, man. They really have. And now going into this one this weekend and the final six games, I'm just looking at them saying, these final six games, I say what, man? Win these four? Right there. Right there. 4-2. 9-8 at the end. And maybe, just maybe, you're sneaking in there. Maybe, just maybe, you're sneaking in there. We'll get into the Sixers here in a second. I'll give my thoughts. But let's see what Mitch has to say first, because I have a lot of thoughts on the Sixers and most recently some stuff with Ben Simmons from Dwight Howard's point of view as a former teammate. Let's go to Mitch in Phoenix here on The Fanatic. Mitch, how you doing tonight, Mitch?
My man, I want to wish you and your family a very, very happy holiday.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Same to you and yours.
Did I hear you're coming out here? Maybe when?
I don't think so, because the way the Birds are playing right now, I can't lock it in right now.
Okay.
Yeah. It was going to be something wrapped around the early part of January, right when the Birds were still playing, sneak out there, get back in time for the Eagles pregame and all that stuff. But I would be pushing it, so it's probably not going to be worth it.
Yeah, normally I would have had my Sixer ticket by now, but they don't come in here until late in March. I believe there's only two games left in the season when they come in here.
Yes, yeah, it's deep into the season. The boys are going out there.
Yeah, so my concern is, I don't mind paying, you know, for a decent seat, but I want to be able to see the starting five that I want to see. I don't know who I'm going to see with two games left in the season.
Well, actually, it's March 27th that they'll be out there. So that's plenty of time, because the season doesn't end until like April 10th, April 11th. So I think you'll be fine, because there will still be about eight games left on the schedule.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Do teams, like, when they realize they're going to a city that they only go once, do you think they have in their mind, yeah, I got to get out there and play, even though I might have a sore hip or something? Do they think of that, or is it just business as usual?
It's typically business as usual for the players when they get out there. And, yeah, they do recognize, knowing that it's a Western Conference team, that they're only making one trip out there, especially when they're going out there to have a good time. Maybe if they have an extra day off, they're in Los Angeles, and you said, oh, we got to take advantage of this Los Angeles trip, whatever it is, and do some things that we know we need to knock off because this is our only time. And that could have been the case with the day off, getting there yesterday for the Golden State Warriors in San Francisco. Maybe they need to make a run and do something while they're out there. I don't know, but being prepared, yes, they will be prepared for stuff like that, not taking any days off, if you will.
So in tonight's game, who is not playing? I know Embiid's out.
We don't know for sure yet. Embiid is out, still questionable. It was listed as Tobias Harris, Danny Green, and Seth Curry were all deemed as questionable for tonight's game earlier today.
Yeah, that's too many guys out. And they have no chance without those guys playing.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Really tough. Golden State is on a 4-game winning streak. They're 9-1 in their last 10. Best record in the NBA at 15-2. Losing that one game at home, and they are playing just tremendous basketball right now. It's going to be a tough one for the Sixers tonight.
You know, in regards to your cousin, and I'm a big Villanova guy, I just absolutely love that organization. I love that coach. I will never get over that night when he was picked by the Sixers. Finally, the Sixers pick a guy from Villanova, and then within 10 minutes, he's gone. I'll never get over that night.
Well, I mean, look, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. You're out there, so you get a chance to see him more than many do here. And he would have been a nice fit here, perfect fit here with this team. I do know that.
Well, a lot better than Zaire Smith turned out to be.
Well, that is actually true, because he is no longer in the NBA. And
right.
Yep.
So what a wasted draft pick.
I hear you, man. What you guys doing for the holiday tomorrow?
You know, normally we don't have much family in Phoenix. So when I left Philly, I pretty much left everybody there, but I needed to go. So it's basically me and my wife and my son. My son's up in Flagstaff with his son's mother. So since it's only the two of us, we have a standing reservation for tomorrow, because for us to cook for two people just doesn't make sense.
Okay, I got you. And if there was a big contingent getting together, would you have on the table this cranberry pickle pie that's in Utah?
I never heard of it.
Exactly. Never heard of it either until yesterday when we saw it on social media. And apparently, it's a very popular thing in Utah. I would not eat that. No way.
No. I picked up a giant pumpkin pie today at Costco. And I like pumpkin pie, but I'm not, you know, it's not my first dessert choice. But I tasted a slice. It was the best pumpkin pie I ever ate.
Oh, there you go, man. Well, enjoy it, Mitch. Thanks so much again. And have a good one. We'll talk to you. Thank you, man.
Okay, thank you.
You got it, man. 610-632-0975, the pumpkin pie. Not a fan of it. As I've said plenty of times, not a big pie fan as it is. So pumpkin pie, I don't like it. I'm a fan of the sweet potato pie and sweet potato pie only, and the Tasty Claire pie made by Tasty Cake. It's the only one I'll mess with. It's the only one I'll mess with that's not a homemade sweet potato pie. It's the only one that I would mess with, the Tasty Claire pie from Tasty Cake. And I was mad at them for messing with it the way that they messed with that one. I'm picky, man. I like pie, one pie from Tasty Cake, and they mess with it. And if I had one thing I would say to Tasty Cake when making the pie, Tasty Claire specifically, and they've changed the box again, so now you can't even see inside the box. It's covered up. I don't know what you have to do, but do something where the chocolate is not sticking to the top of the box, melting, so when you're ready to open it, it peels off, and now you're stuck having part of the chocolate ripped off the top of the pie. Dylan's shaking his head. What, is that bad that I'm saying that? You agree with me? Oh, all right, cool. All right, at least I'm not the only one. At least I'm not the only one. All right, here, let me get some of these in here on social media real fast, and we'll get back to the phones. Gary is there. Everybody else, 610-632-0975. Josh on Twitter, jkirk09, says, my family makes a giblet gravy. And he puts the vomit emoji after that. What's a giblet gravy? Now I got to look this one up because I'm not familiar with the giblet gravy. Old-fashioned giblet gravy. All right. Recipe using neck, liver, heart, and gizzards from a turkey or chicken. Yeah, I'm out. I'm out. I'm with you, Josh. I'm out. I'm out. Gotcha. Done. What is that? What is that? Neck, liver, heart, and gizzards from a turkey or a chicken and making the gravy. No, I'm not doing that. No. Josh, you're right. Your family's wrong. That's nasty. All right, let's move on. Ramondo L. Brown says, no, and keep it in Utah. Agreed, Ramondo. Keep that in Utah. No one wants that here. That's terrible. Dylan also found when he was doing some research on the cranberry pickle pie, it was a hot dog and jello cake, kind of like casserole thing.
The website I found called it a salad. It was a hot dog jello salad.
Hot dog jello salad, also made in Utah, that is popular. When Dylan looked it up, so you guys can look it up and look at it. It looks ridiculously bad. And it looks nasty in a lot of ways. Not just one way, a lot of ways. And they have the hot dogs. First of all, the hot dogs are standing up vertically around the perimeter of the, again, it just looks like a cake with jello. And I just don't understand how this became a thing. I don't understand how it became a thing. I don't know. You got to see it. It's awful. PhillyFan25_8 Ramid says, I expect the team to keep making progress, stick to the run. Hurts has to stay mistake-free and manage the game. Need another wide receiver to make plays other than Smith. Defense needs to stick to playing aggressive, not passive. If they win 3 to 4 games to finish, we're in the wild card. 3 to 4. I don't think they can go 3-3, Ramid. They have to go 4-2. 8-9, I don't think that gets you in. I don't. I could be wrong. But I don't think that gets you in. I don't. Need another wide receiver? Yeah. Need some more from Quez Watkins. You need anything from Jalen Reagor. Let me be careful before his dad blocks me on Twitter. You need anything from Jalen Reagor. Next offseason, they have to address that position. Sorry, Mr. Reagor. I know sometimes players, it takes them a couple of years to really hit their stride. Wide receivers catch on late. We've seen it before in the league. Right now, he just looks lost out there. And you're wasting. You have to give Greg Ward. And we've had people call in and saying, give Kenneth Gainwell a shot in the slot. See if he can have some success there out of the backfield because he is so good with his hands. And he has a mismatch against the defenders. If he's in the slot, is he going to be a mismatch in the slot against the slot corner? I don't know. But Greg Ward needs to get some of these snaps. I'm not saying Greg Ward is anything special, anything to write home about. But what I can say is he gets open, does what he's asked in the design of the offense, and he catches the football. Greg Ward needs to start taking some of these snaps away from Jalen Reagor. If he's going to be the punt returner, fine, be the punt returner. But one other thing, he has to be smart while he's back there catching these punts or these kickoffs, and then only getting to the 17-yard line. You're already at the 25 now just from catching it and fair. You're already there. If it's at the 4-yard line, let it bounce into the end zone. Don't catch it unless that's what they're telling him to do, but I can't believe that that's what they're telling him to do. Greg Ward needs to start getting snaps in place of Jalen Reagor. It's the bottom line. 610-632-0975. So what are your thoughts? Final six games, what number has them getting into the playoffs? Do they have to go 4-2, 5-1, 3-3, like Ramid said? I think it's 4-2 in order for them to make the playoffs with these six games, two against the Giants, two against Washington, one against the Jets and the Cowboys. Got to get find a way to get it done. 3 at home, 3 on the road. And the first two are on the road. Giants, Jets, back-to-back. Bye week mixed in. Then you have Washington, the Giants again, and Washington one more time. And then you have the Dallas Cowboys. So there you have it. 610-632-0975. Let's get back to the phones. Also, once again, cranberry pickle pie in Utah is a thing. It's nasty. I wouldn't eat it. You wouldn't eat it. What's something that's creative on your table for the family gatherings for Thanksgiving? Gary in South Jersey next. How you doing, Gary?
Pretty good, Devon. How about yourself?
Pretty good, man. Thank you.
I am driving back home here and all turned around, but all right. We're going in the right direction.
All right, make sure you're going in the right way, man, because we want to make sure you're listening. We want to let you reroute it for 20 minutes.
Yeah, you caught me right in the middle of a jug hand.
All right.
In the season of being thankful, I wanted to give my thanks to Mike Muscala, who did a big shot in the bubble and gifted us Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey, in a Sixer season where you have every reason to not want to watch this team, they've been maybe the most enjoyable watch in years for the Sixers. And it's really refreshing. And, you know, I hope that Embiid can slide back in and doesn't mess up the chemistry at all.
I don't think he will. I think that Tyrese Maxey will figure out again as we see him develop, Gary. Every game we see him, watch him, and what he's able to do. He has grown, you know, so much over these last couple of weeks where he's had the ball in his hands and able to make decisions for himself, for his teammates. It was a play the other night where he drew the defense through, I believe, three defenders, his, George Niang, who was on the left side in the corner, and another defender. They collapsed on him in the paint when he got in there. And a lot of times we talk about where Simmons will get into the air and throw bad passes. Instead of really getting into the air, he just simply turned his body, squared his shoulders as best as he could to make a pass to George Niang for a three-pointer that he made. Now, even if he missed it, that was good recognition of a point guard to get a better shot where, you know, it's right on the money, it's in his pocket and his shooting pocket, and he made it. And that's what we're starting to see because, he's had 9 assists, which was a career high. He's made 9 free throws, Gary, too, right, getting there, making 9 of his 9 free throw attempts. He had 8 in the last game. Also, and then most importantly, Gary, he's not turning the basketball over. So with all of that, right, we can say how poor his defense might be at such a young age right now while he's figuring out. At least he's not giving up points by turning the ball over and costing them possessions by doing that.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's really the part of his game that I think is probably most exciting is, you know, his shot creation ability is innate. He's quick. There's not many people that can stay in front of him. I dare say no one. If he's got, the right angle on people, he's too quick. And I think that, you know, looking at that second defender and starting to find those passes and understand where his teammates are going to be, that part's really great.
Yeah.
But, you know, the other thing I wanted to get your thoughts on are, you know, it's really hard to start being excited before this, or, you know, in this era of the pre-Simmons trade, and you know Maxey's trade value is high. I really hope he stays, but I'm ready to package him up for draft picks. I like the team the way it is. If we can get a player, great. But I want it to end, and then let's get some more future assets back for him, and then I'm good with that.
So you're saying you're just simply ready to move on?
Yeah, and I'll take the draft picks. I don't need a star player. I don't need a top 30 player right now. I think this team can win the East. As constructed.
Really? Okay. I don't think so. I think they still need something in order to help them do that. But I'll address that here in a minute.
Here's a question. Who is the worst player they could go get that would make them a true contender?
Wow, the worst player they could go get. Let me think about that because I will probably have a few names that I would want to throw out there. I would love to have the back and forth with you. But I think there are a few names that I can probably throw out there. But Gary, let me ask you this. With Thanksgiving tomorrow, you heard about the cranberry pickle pie, something that's maybe creative on your family's table that you have or may have had.
Cranberry pickle pie. Saw a picture of it on social media. My reaction was the same as yours. I can't believe that exists. We have, you know, turkey's all right, but our main dish is prime rib. We always do some prime rib on the table, and I really enjoy that.
I like that.
You know, not usual for Thanksgiving.
That's different. Like that's different, and I like it. Yeah, I might have, Gary, you might have to invite me over and or save me some. Thank you, man. Appreciate it, Gary. Drive safely, get home, go the right direction, make sure you're all good, and enjoy your holiday tomorrow. Thanks, man.
All right, happy holiday.
Same to you. Thank you.
Don't put any barbecue sauce on it.
Well, listen, we were at a barbecue. We were at a tailgate, and barbecue was there for a reason. No one asked for it. The cook, the man who was cooking, the cook, he had it out there. When you're packing up all that stuff to come out there for a tailgate, he put barbecue out there for a reason. It wasn't just for the sweet sausage or the spicy sausage that he puts out there on that grill. It was also for the prime rib sandwich that he has, which is tremendous, and I will have it again. And I do not care what you or Derek Gunn has to say. And by the way, you had put out a Twitter poll during the show, and I won. People said, yes, you can put the barbecue sauce on the prime rib sandwich at the tailgate. I didn't say at home. I said the tailgate. It came off of a grill, and that's why it was in play. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you tonight until 9:45. Warriors, Sixers, 10 o'clock, the final game of this road trip. We see we have Eric there and others. I want to get to you all. Eric, you're first when we get back. 25 minutes commercial free. But a question that was just brought up about, well, not necessarily a question, but just simply stating that this team, you know, before we overreact to anything, before post Simmons and he's gone and making a deal, I had a question I wanted to ask everybody about the Sixers through these 18 games, going into 19 tonight. I have a question. I'll give it to you on the other side. We'll have a conversation about it because I don't think many people would have felt this way before, but right now I think many do. And I want to talk with you about it when we get back. 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens with you again until Sixers-Warriors basketball tonight right here on this Thanksgiving Eve, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
7:30, 97.5 The Fanatic, 7 o'clock hour, brought to you by the Grace Auto Group, the low-mileage Acuras, Lexus, BMWs, and F-150s. Visit graceautopa.com. That's Grace Auto Group on Route 1 in Morrisville, PA. That's just minutes from Northeast Philly and Trenton. 610-632-0975. Hanging out with you until 9:45, Sixers Warriors. So before we get to Eric and others here, I wanted to say this quickly. The Birds, we were talking about them and what their record needs to be in these final six to make the playoffs. The goal is the playoffs at this point. We want to see them get better game after game after game. But the goal right now is it's the playoffs. I've looked at this team. I've watched every Sixer game because it's my job. I have to. I've watched this team. I've seen what this team has done. And I watched this team, and they were 8-2, and the injuries hit, the COVID health and safety protocol, that all that stuff hit, and they went on a 5-game losing streak. They snapped it, all that stuff. Right, right now they're 10-8. Tough road trip, not enough players. But even with that, to our last caller's point, we're not alone in talking about Tyrese Maxey, his development, how good he looks on the floor, the things that he's doing, seeing the passing, seeing the different ways that he's scoring. We know he could always be a downhill type of player and play that way and be effective. And we're really seeing him be effective in that way. but he's being smart with his shot selection overall. He's not forcing jump shots. He's maybe every now and again we'll see him get to a spot that's not in the painted area and pull up on the ball fake and shoot a jumper. We've seen the teardrops, the floaters, the underhanded scoops at the rim against these big body players, and the angle in which he takes to get these shots off the glass, in which, again, I talked to him a couple of weeks ago when we were in town, when they were in town still, and he talked about how he looks at the glass at certain levels to hit when he takes his shots, right? And as I'm watching his team and looking at things of how they're playing, so I'm watching this team and I'm watching how they play. And I had this already on my paper here for my notes for what we were talking about, our topics for Dylan and I as we did our pre-show stuff. Gary brought up a point that went to where I wanted to go, which was watching this team and watching how fun they are, even when the stars, quote unquote, are not on the floor. It, you know, with Embiid and Simmons and Harris, when these guys are missing time. Matisse Thybul, health and safety protocols, all that. They're still fun. They compete. They leave it all out on the floor. It's fun to watch these young players develop and think about it. Even against Sacramento on Monday night, the only veterans that played were Andre Drummond and George Niang. Everyone else, including Matisse Thybul, you can still consider them young players, really young players in this league that maybe have no business winning a game like they did on Monday night, or even winning the games that they did during that five-game homestand where they won five games in a row. This team is fun to watch right now. I had fun watching them when Simmons was on the floor. I did. You know me. I know me as a Simmons fan. Critical of him for some of the things that he did or didn't do, but a fan nonetheless of his game and what he did both ends of the floor. This team, even though I did pick them when Tyler and I gave our prediction before the season, I said they would still be a 50-win team with everybody out there, no health and safety protocol stuff mixed in, yes, some low management games for Joel Embiid, and thinking that eventually we will have some resolution to the Simmons thing where we would get players on the floor to help out. With everything that has happened, Doc Rivers' coaching job, this team is still fun. I'm encouraged by what I've seen from this basketball team. Now, they may not hit the 50 number anymore because of so much time lost by Embiid and Harris and certainly Simmons and some of the others as well. They may not miss it. It may not be possible. I mean, they may not make it. It may not be possible at this point. So they might not be a top three team like I predicted they would be before the season started. But what I have seen is I'm encouraged by this team, despite everything that has been a negative thrown at them the start of this season. Right now, at 10-8, they should probably be 8-10 with how things have played out for them. But they are not. They are competitive, they're well coached, and they have a floor general right now that may not be the prototypical point guard the way you want him to be, but he's doing other things that help you win, and they're playing winning basketball, even in losses that are not blowouts, of course. They're competitive, and they're playing winning basketball. And I like watching this team right now. I really do. I wish that we didn't have to go through everything that we're going through, but here we are. And we see a developing potential star in Tyrese Maxey. We figured out that like many have said, and I thought so last season, but it worked out a year ago, Danny Green is probably going to have to come off the bench. But if Matisse Thybul was able to go out there and sneak in a 15 spot every now and then and play the elite level defense that he does on the perimeter, you're not hurt when Curry, Harris, and Embiid are on the floor. It's just a matter of if Danny Green is effective enough off the bench as a vet, understanding what his role now is. This team is fun. I'm encouraged. I still think they are missing some stuff, and a lot of that is because Simmons is not there. 100%. 100%. But I'm encouraged by what I've seen so far through the 18 games of this basketball season. They're not perfect by any stretch. They are not. Doc Rivers still makes mistakes on the sidelines that have me scratching my head. But I also know that he has been shorthanded in so many of these games that it's not funny. It's not even funny how many times we've looked at things out there and saw that, man, he's going out there with that lineup. All right, cool. Because it's a challenge for him. Tom McGinnis and I talked about it because he mentioned it, Doc Rivers, a couple of games ago when they were starting to having missed these games with all these people being out, saying sometimes you get more satisfaction out of these types of games because of the coaching job that you have to do. The coaching job that you simply have to do in order to walk away with a win. And he has had to do that. And I thought one of his better coaching games was the other night. I'm looking at the lineups that they've had so far this season. And the highest number is Green, Harris, Embiid, Curry, Maxey. That's your starting five for the season. They've played six games. Then he's had this for the rest of the year. Remember, 18 games they've played. 18 games. This is what they've had so far for their lineups. 10 different combinations, or nine, pardon me, of the normal starting five. Nine different starting lineup combinations on the season. Green, Korkmaz, Drummond, Curry, Maxey. Thibel, Korkmaz, Embiid, Curry, Maxey. Milton, Thibel, Embiid, Curry, Maxey. Milton, Reed, who started two games. Embiid, Curry, Maxey. Korkmaz, Reed, Drummond, Milton, Maxey. Then he has Green, Harris, Drummond, Curry, Maxey. Let's say Curry, Maxey going forward. But then you have Milton, Harris, Drummond with those two. Niang, Harris, Drummond with those two. And the final one, Thibel, Niang, Drummond, Korkmaz, Maxey. That's what we got for Sacramento on Monday, and they won that game. And they're 10-8. Again, they should be 8-2 with some of these lineup combinations that they are putting out there on the floor. So while it is not a beautiful record, and they are not after 18 games, 12-6 instead, I think they've done a pretty good job considering everything that has been put in front of them as the coach, what he's had to do with his lineups and the coaching in general, losing your assistant coach, your lead assistant, who has to go through his cancer treatments. You know, I'm a big Dave Yeager fan, so thoughts and prayers are with him as he fights through everything that he is fighting through back here in Philadelphia with his treatment. They've gone through a lot, and they're still competing on the floor every night. I don't expect them to win tonight. I don't. They will compete. It may get out of hand in the third quarter, but I like watching this basketball team. I do. I like watching this basketball team. So that was just something I wanted to say about the squad. Curious to see where you guys are about it, about this team and where they are, because I like watching them. I do. I do. I think they're fun. Tyrese Maxey has been a bit of a revelation. I thought it would be a good player. Didn't expect it to be this soon. He was one guy outside of Embiid that I trusted in the playoffs last year because he was just not afraid. He was just not afraid. And that was pretty cool to see. He's still not afraid. And now we're seeing his numbers put up with some of the all pros in the league. And he may not make an all-star team, and he may not even make an all-NBA team at the end of the year and all that stuff. But boy, is he fun to watch, and he is helping this team win some games. So your thoughts on the Sixers in general with where they are, with the things that they've done thus far, shorthanded with how they have been, Doc Rivers, his coaching job, and Tyrese Maxey just turning himself into a star that many people are saying, and they thought that before, but right now, an untouchable player in terms of any Simmons discussions with how to move on with building this team and moving away from Simmons. I appreciate what they've done. I really have. All right, let's go back to the phones, get this Eagle stuff in. We encourage your Sixers conversation as well. 610-632-0975. The Birds, six games. What do they have to do in the final six in order to make the postseason? What does that number have to be in order for them to make it to the playoffs, or at least week 18 be important enough to make the playoffs? Let's go to Eric in South Philly as promised. Eric, thanks for hanging on, man.
Hey, what's up, D?
What's going on?
Yeah, man, I had called to talk about the Eagles, but I just want
to... Do both.
Yeah. So,
with the Sixers, man, like, I love the way the team is playing, like you said. Like, we run plays, you know what I'm saying? We run pick and rolls, you know? So I really do like how the team is playing. And we got a bench now, you know what I'm saying? The Bull Bass, what's his name? Bassy? I don't know, but I want to see more of him. Like, I would, like, him and Drummond should be splitting that five spot. Like,
wow, really?
Like, yeah, I like what I saw.
Over the vet, moved, huh?
I want to say over him. I say, you know, like, you know, 20-20 each type of thing, 20 minutes each. But, like, I want, because I like the way he moves around the basket. Like, he knocks this like a center, you know what I'm saying? He got a little, like, fluidity to him, to his game, and I like that. With Tyrese Maxey, man, like, yeah, he's untouchable, man. And I felt as though he was untouchable even with the rumor James Harden trade. Mm-hmm. I thought, yeah, we can't include Tyrese, man. He's the one young guy that we had drafted that we can say, like, he can go out there and drop 40. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I can't. I wouldn't have traded him back.
Yeah, he's definitely one of those players. And it was between he and Thibault that a lot of people talked about keeping them two out of any deal with Simmons. Or if you had to do one, pick one of the two. Most people had their favorites. It was split between Thibault and Maxey. But right now, the way Maxey is playing, some people might say, you know what? You're right. Let's keep Maxey and include Thibault in any deal.
Yeah, I mean, I want to.
You can't have everything. You got to give up something.
I'll give up Milton, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, between them three, like, I'll be like, bye, Shake. Like, it was nice knowing. But, moving forward, one last question about the Sixers. Moving forward, like, do you see Tyrese as a point guard?
I think eventually he'll be a point guard. If he's not the primary, he'll definitely be one that handles those secondary responsibilities.
Ideally,
a scoring guard.
Scoring guard, right? Yeah, that's why I went out of him too. But one quick thing, but the game tonight, I feel like Doc, if Steph does play, yo man, give Steph the ultimate green light, man. Go up against your brother mano a mano. You know what I'm saying? Like, because Steph might go off tonight, you know. So go out there. Y'all been playing since childhood. Y'all men is gonna match up. You guard him. He guard you. And let's get at it. You know, it's not a game we might lose anyway. So, you know, go out there. Let's see what you got, Seth.
So last season in the first quarter, Seth had the better quarter. And then from 2-4, Seth did not. Yeah. Steph did. He went off.
Yeah, he went off. Yeah, that's the thing about Steph, though. Like, when he go off, he go off, you know. So, yeah, just, you know, let's see what you got, Seth. But, like, on to the Eagles, man. I don't want to give up on Jalen Reagor just yet. I wouldn't put Greg Warren over him. Not yet, anyway. Not yet.
I am.
I feel like, I don't blame you, for real. I don't blame you. I've never seen a punt returner misjudge the punt so badly before, man. It's like every time he decides not to field the punt, it doesn't go in the back of the end zone. Like, it's always within the 5-yard line. Like, I've never seen that type of luck for a player. Like, how you misjudge a punt so badly every time? You know
I don't get it, man. I don't understand what his awareness is on the field right now. I really don't.
Honestly. And it's like, yo, I swear he be having holes to return for returning, but he don't. He going to run straight to the defenders. Yeah, I swear. He's running to where the help is. Like, he's running towards where the help is coming from. Like, honestly. But in terms of, like, just, I still see him as, like, a, you know, like a poor man, Percy Harvin, you know. When we first came out against Atlanta, like the first 6-7 weeks of the season, I feel like that's the type of offense he needs in order to thrive, like short yard, like screen passes the receiver, handoff to the receiver. But he needs those type of things to get going. Cause I feel like it's just a confident thing with him at this point. Like he don't look confident out there. You know, I feel if he gets some easy catches, easy run after catch opportunity, you know, he might show what he got. Because he got some dog in him, and I like that about him.
All right, you man. Know? What's their record need to be, and what will it be for the final six games?
Oh, man. Like you said, I think 4-2 can get them in. I really do. But I feel as though they're going to go 5-1.
the way the run game is going, yeah, I feel like going 5-1.
Okay. All right. All right. You talking? Oh man, who's that loss to? Who's that loss?
And we're gonna make noise in the playoffs too.
All right.
And you know what? One last thing. If the Cowboys lose this Thursday, we got a shot at the division. I'm gonna say that.
All right, fair enough.
If they lose tomorrow, yeah, we got a shot at
the. All right, E. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Right. Thank you, man. Have a good holiday. I look at it and I say I don't see that. I just don't see it. You see the Dallas schedule the remainder of the season? I don't see them doing that. But okay, 610-632-0975. Don't forget about the cranberry pickle pie that's popular in Utah, and apparently they like it. I would not.
That's a violation.
It is very much so. Very much so. 610-632-0975 as we hang out with you until 9:45 tonight. Sixers Warriors. The Curry brothers. There's no way he doesn't play against his brother. There's no way he doesn't play against his brother tonight. No way, no how. No way, no how. All right, let's go back to the phones. 610-632-0975. We go to Brian in Plymouth Meeting. What's up, B?
Yody. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody out there.
Same to you, man.
You and the fam. And I think with that pickle and cranberry pie, I think we found out why Brigham Young had so many wives. He just kept going through and looking for one that could come up with a recipe.
Did you see it? Did you see the photo?
No, no.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't do the cranberry sauce. And
neither do I.
I mean, that sounds utterly disgusting. And I will say, this is not a Thanksgiving thing, but I'll rep... I wouldn't do this with a good macaroni and cheese, but you take a box macaroni and cheese that's got the powdered processed cheese in it, mm-hmm. make that up, put a little ketchup on it. And it sounds crazy, but it's basically, you think about it, like it's like having yellow cheese on your cheeseburger and putting ketchup on it. The flavor combo is awesome. So okay. give it a try with the kids out there. They will like it. Yeah. I guarantee.
All right.
I agree with what you're saying with the Sixers. I mean, it's definitely been encouraging. It's good that all these younger guys have gotten the chance to play. Man, watching that Kings disaster the other night, I don't see a single player on that roster that I think makes a difference to us.
Yeah, I was disappointed, and even though Fox had an okay game, and you know Buddy Hield is Buddy Hield, so he does what he does. That's nothing different than what we've seen in the past, so that's nothing new.
Buddy Hield looks like he has just been eating and not working out, and he puts forth no effort on defense.
Zero.
Is that
a culture thing at this point, being there all this time? Can that be changed when he gets to a team that has a winning culture?
It could, but I mean, the guy has no. They paid him, and he quit like immediately because he couldn't. He didn't want to split minutes with Bogdanovich.
He clearly wants out of there. They know it. He took his money because it was a guaranteed contract. You sign your deal, but yes, he wants out.
But would you rather have him or Seth Curry at this point? Even like, I mean, definitely wouldn't you factor in the money? It's not even close.
Yeah,
but I think I'd rather have. I think I'd rather have Seth. I mean, because you can't. You can't trade for Hield and then have him come off the bench backing up Curry playing limited minutes because he's not going to be happy with that either. And similarly, like De'Aaron, I worry that the way he was moving and that, like his posture and whatnot, like,
yeah,
did he put on weight trying to
it
like.
It looked like he did put on a little weight. Yes.
It, just like the way he was moving around like old man game.
Being in a bad spot like that, you know that can take a lot out of you, man.
No, that's true. But at the same time, you know, I mean, I'd rather have Maxey at this point. It's crazy. I mean, I would have thought that would be crazy if I had said that 6 months ago. But, you know, not to say, you know, if a deal does come with Sacramento, because they certainly need to shake it up and they are a prime destination for a guy, a floor raiser like number 25.
Yep.
But I mean, it might be a case where we take a whole bunch of stuff from them, and then there's a third team where that has something we want.
100%. Absolutely. 100%. As far as the Birds go, man, do you think that the final six games, what does their record need to be, and what will it be?
I mean, I would think it was five wins.
Five.
And,
wow, just so low?
One observation from the game last week, and, you know, the guy I was watching it with, who's not a big football guy, you know, they would show a zoom out. Like, when Hurts is running, when he breaks the pocket, most of our receivers are just standing flat-footed at that point. And Rager especially, I mean, it, like, that's something that our receivers need to learn how to do. I mean, that ball to Miles Sanders, where Miles Sanders is standing flat-footed, which is
just knocked it away, yeah.
Yep. I mean, that pass is wide open, and that is the problem with Jalen Hurts' arm. But if you're Miles Sanders, you got to know that and come back to the ball. You got to help the quarterback out. And, you know, I bet it all on Miles Sanders. I'm done with him. I mean, I just don't – that to me, just that sort of stuff shows lack of situational awareness that I just can't – I don't want to build around guys like that going forward.
And then he can't help himself with the clock and going out of bounds. And
yeah, you know, if your head's not in the game, then, you know, that's going to bite you at a certain point. Yeah. You don't want it to be NFC Championship game, you know, Super Bowl. Yeah, whatever. But, I mean, that's getting ahead of ourselves. But, I mean, when I see that sort of stuff, that's a big red flag for me with players.
No question.
Well, in any sport.
B, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Touching on all those, and have a great day tomorrow.
Yep, thanks. You too.
Thanks, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you. We'll get to everybody else that's waiting. I see you guys. 610-632-0975. Run out of here. Quick break. We come right back. 25 minutes commercial free. We talk Birds. We talking Sixers. And we talking some food. Thanksgiving's tomorrow. Need to talk about the pickle and cranberry pie that's very popular, that's nasty looking. And we talk about something that maybe you eat that's different from your family. We'll get into all that when we get back right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Eight o'clock hour here on 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Let's check in on what your hockey club is doing right now on our sister station, taking on the Florida Panthers. End of one in the first intermission. They're up 1-0 on the Florida Panthers. So encouraging. Coming off the 4-0 shutout to the Tampa Bay Lightning, where they did not look good right now. A 1-0 lead. Let's see if they can hold on. Let's see if Carter Hart can keep them scoreless tonight as they come back home on Friday for the Carolina Hurricanes, 3:30 matinee. So just want to let everybody know tomorrow, not here, but on Friday. No draft lines with Jamie Lynch, but I will be on following Flyers hockey approximately 7 o'clock after the game. I'll be with you until 10 o'clock on Friday, a football Friday, but following Flyers hockey, 3:30 matinee at the center. All right. Right now they're up 1-0. 610-632-0975. We're talking about a lot of things. Far as Bryant, real fast before we get back to the phones, Bryant Elmer 1 says, I think they should go 5-1. If you want to be considered a good team, given the competition you're facing, if the Dallas game counts, then I think they need 4-2 again if we are a good team. But I really think one or two of these games that we will have Hurts makes throws to propel us. The question is, can he? That's Brian Elmer 1 on Twitter. We appreciate it, Brian. Can he? That's the question we don't have an answer to as of yet. Don't know. Will he have to show it, Bryant, in these games against Washington, both New York teams, and again, we'll see about Dallas at the end of the year. Does he have to throw for more than 170 yards like we've seen from him over the last couple of weeks? He hasn't had 200-plus yards since that Raider game, and they had to throw the football. They had to throw it. So, we'll see. We don't have an answer to that just yet. Just yet. Let's go back to the phones, talk to Denzel, see what he has to say about the Birds here on the Fanatic. What's up, man?
What's up, D?
What's going on?
Man, you know, we haven't lost since that game either, but I'm going to talk about, honestly, the main reason why I called, because the last call was talking about Rager. Listen, I want to fire Howie Roseman just based off of, if you put next to Jefferson. Listen, I remember the draft. I knew we had Jefferson. There's no, when they said Rager, I was so upset. I haven't been that upset, but I was slightly more upset the year before when they went Barnett over to both from Alabama. And I was like, what? But then I was like, all right, cool. And then they started throwing their stats. I'm like, cool. But then when they did the same thing with Rager, I'm like, who is Rager? I was so, and I watched college football, but I just knew we had Jefferson. I was so hyped he fell into our lap. And when the draft came and they said Rager instead of Jefferson, I knew from that point on, I was like, yo, he got to be something, because I'm like, he must be something crazy that I just didn't see yet, because I see Justin Jefferson winning the chip. I see how much of a dog he is on the outside, on the inside. I see him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Him and Ja'Marr Chase was just like, either one you go to, you couldn't miss. It was a guarantee. So I'm like, if y'all picking him over him, he must be crazy. And then I see this for the last 2 years. He needs to be fired based off of that selection by itself. Like, seriously.
No, listen, I still don't see what he saw. I didn't see it at that time. Most of us felt like that should have been the pick, which was Justin Jefferson. And seeing the reaction that Minnesota had, and when they made Jalen Rager the selection at pick 21, and they jumped right at it to go and put their card in for Justin Jefferson, and they never looked back. But we keep looking back, because it's the Rager part with Jefferson, and you talk about the CeeDee Lamb aspect of it, where you could have traded up to get CeeDee Lamb a few more spots, because he dropped to Dallas, and you needed to make that deal one way or the other, those two. And here we are now talking about, he can't be on the field. He's not doing anything. Sorry. It's not our fault.
Yeah, it's bad. And I got one sixers point. You know how much of a huge Ben Simmons fan I am. But when we go to trade him, I like the Kings. I heard him a lot. The last call, he was talking about like the Kings and them body language. They don't want to be there. Their coaches got fired. It's not a good team. Well, I mean, it's at least they're showing up. I mean, like, at least they're at the games and stuff like that. So I would take a package with – is Harrison Barnes still on the Kings?
Yeah.
I would take a Harrison Barnes and a Harrison Barnes, a pick, and a Buddy Hield for Simmons. I think that would be, like, a good – because we get that wing defender. We'll get another wing defender, I think. Something with him and Maxey. I think that would be a good squad with him and Maxey on the wings. And, I mean, not him and Maxey. Him and Thibault on the wings with Embiid behind them. And Maxey, and I would keep Maxey as a starter. I would put Curry back to the bench and have him come off as a sixth man. And put Curry. I will go Maxey, Hill, Harrison. Oh, we forget about Tobias. Mm-hmm. Okay, Tobias. And I would have Curry and come off the bench, Harrison Barnes. And also, one last thing about that Blazers game. I watched that Blazers game. I was so frustrated as well. I don't know what Doc Rivers was doing. I don't know why we, like, I think he had a good idea. He just left it in too long. Like, put a rebound on the floor. If you're not going to put Drummond back on the floor, at least put Bassey on the floor. You out here running Korkmaz. At what point are you going to take Korkmaz? Like, yo, this is not your night. He didn't make nothing all game. Why is he playing the last 8-minute stretch of the fourth quarter if he hasn't shown you nothing up to that point?
He's been struggling. He has been.
Come on, get him out the game. We had the game right there. Maxie was playing his life away. If we pull that win away, they talking about Maxie for 2 or 3 days, even though they was still, but on a different light. We almost had it. We shouldn't have lost the game yet on this West Coast trip.
All right, man, got to ask you tomorrow, Thanksgiving, did you hear about the cranberry pickle pie in Utah?
I've been hearing about it since I got on the thing. It's a hard no for me.
So, all right, hard no for you. Is there anything that is creative on your family's table that might be a little different?
Nah, we're pretty up and down.
I love it. Hey, man, happy Thanksgiving to you and the family. Thanks, man.
All right, bro.
All right, you got it. 610-632-0975. Oh, that's funny. Let's go to Nate in Southwest. It was an interesting one there. Harrison Barnes and Buddy Hield in the pick for Simmons at this point. Brian saying, don't even trust anybody on that roster to make a deal. Denzel saying, just get this guy out of here. Get this guy out of here. Gary said, I'm done. Gary was confused about where he was going. We threw him off. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm all thrown off because I'm trying to figure out. I just want to get this guy out of here, get it over with. Period. Period. 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones, check in. So look at these cool pictures of Patrick Egan and his son. Tinseltown holiday. That's pretty cool. They got the Eagles logo lit up for the holidays. The Phillies, 76ers. Nice work, Tinseltown holiday. It's nice work. Good job by dad and mom taking him out there, taking little man out there and checking it out.
It's only a few months away until he's taller than his dad.
You couldn't wait to get that one in there. You couldn't wait to get that in. Somebody's going to tweet Pat and tell him you said that too. Watch. Nate in Southwest. What's up, Nate?
What's up, man? What's going on?
Not much, man. Day before the holiday, hanging out.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Earlier, he one of the calls was talking about that Miles Sanders pass from Jalen Hurts. You got to come back to the ball on that, bro, right? I mean, because you...
What Sanders you talking about?
Yeah, the Miles Sanders.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Because if you know that your quarterback arm is whatever it's going to be, then... I don't even blame his arm on that situation. I blame you not coming back to the ball.
Yeah, and he was throwing, I think he was running to his left.
Right.
And he's throwing across his body a little bit. So, yeah, you want to make sure it's easier.
Right, but the ball was there. So all you had to do is run up and come to the ball. You sat there and waited. Like, come on, you can't sit there and wait for the ball. Make a play on the ball, bro. That would have been a catch. That would have been, at least a 35 to 40 yard pass.
Oh, that was that was to his right, wasn't it?
Yeah, he ran to the right.
That was to his right, yeah. Not
ran to the right.
My bad.
So, you know what I'm saying? He run to the right and do that, then it's a whole different situation, man. I don't know, man. I think, did you see the tweet that everybody was tweeting out when Buddy Hill was talking to Doc and he was covering his mouth?
Yeah, so I did see that. We were here, so we saw it during the post game. And obviously, we've seen Hill like social media posts that had him moving on to the Lakers or here and places around the league. So I'm not surprised if he said something like that, get me out of here. And of course, we're all guessing. We don't know what he said. But trying to read Doc Rivers' his mouth, it basically was, it was difficult to see. And I'd imagine that he was saying, get me out of here.
And I'm imagining Doc saying, listen, I'm trying my best to do whatever I can. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's up to Daryl Morey at this point, man. And I just, right now, we just think a move needs to be made. You dig? And when I'm saying we, I'm speaking for Sixers fans, and I'm also speaking for my pop, all of us. We just still got to go, man. I mean, we sit at home getting fined. Just send him out of his misery. Send him to Sacramento where he's going to lose forever. And he'll be all right. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Dwight Howard spoke about him, so we'll talk about him in a little bit.
What are you thinking about Dwight Howard? You see what Dwight Howard doing over in L.A.? Nothing. Nothing. He's a bum. 35-year-old bum. Let him stay right where he at. You defended. How you defended somebody, bro? And your own teammates ready to beat you up. Come on, dog. Stop it.
Man, Anthony Davis was.
I can't football, man. Five, but listen, I think the Eagles at least win the next four out of six games, bro.
Yeah, see, I'm 4-6 as well. And is that good enough to get them in?
We will have to see, bro. It's a wait and see process with that. We don't know who else is going to go on a run. You did?
All right. You got it, man. And you saw the pickle and.
Yeah, I'm not eating no pickle pie, none of that.
Pickle cranberry pie.
No, that's you know who eat that stuff. People in Utah.
Anything weird on the table for the family?
No, you ain't got nothing weird on the table, dude. We ain't eating nothing crazy.
No.
No,
of course not.
You know what we eating, bro.
Of course. The usual.
Somebody called and said, not to you, but somebody said mac and cheese is not a
yeah, I was going to get to that. It's on my list to get to. So that was Judon from the New England Patriots who said that, which is ridiculous. So we'll get to that, but yeah.
Yeah, man. All right, bro. You stay up. Happy holidays.
Same to you, man. Thank you. You and the family. Appreciate it, man. So 610-632-0975. We got to get to this. Because I want to make sure, yeah, I have this correctly. What's wrong with people? You can't say what it. Matt Judon from the Patriots said that macaroni and cheese. He said it's just cheese and noodles. It's not that good. Get macaroni and cheese off the table at Thanksgiving. It's disgusting. Get it off the table. Now, look, I'm not one to come at people's food choices because I'm very picky. And I don't like some of the basics either. I don't like eggs. If you just found out today, just now when I said it, I don't eat eggs. Okay. All right. Get it off the breakfast table. Mac and cheese doesn't belong at Thanksgiving? What is he, nuts? Is he nuts? See, when you win as many games as they started to win and they have the success that they're having in New England after turning things around, you start to get too big-headed. You think you can say whatever you want. What is wrong with this man? Matthew Judon. Mac and cheese doesn't belong on the table? Then I saw someone else in the sports world said something similar. And it's ridiculous. Come on, man. Stop it. Kyle Duggar's go-to dish from the Patriots, he says, mac and cheese. What's wrong with this dude, man? Just absolutely insane. What you get off the table is the pickle and cranberry pie, not macaroni and cheese. Mac Jones hates apple pie. All right. I don't say I hate it. I say I don't eat it. What's wrong with these people? 610-632-0975. All right. Let's go to Mark and Conchi here next on The Fanatic. What's up, Mark?
Hey, good evening, Devon.
How you doing, man?
All right. I don't have any creative Thanksgiving dish, but happy Thanksgiving Eve to you and everybody there.
Thank you. Appreciate that. But I will ask you this, though. Would you eat the cranberry pickle pie?
No way. I'm not. Like you and a lot of the other callers, I don't even like cranberry sauce. So.
Right.
And I like pickles, but I don't think I want them in my pot.
I don't think you would want pickles in your pie either. No.
So just like you were talking about, I'm happy that the Sixers are going to end up coming home with a winning record. Like if they beat Golden State tonight, I'd be shocked.
3-3.
But even so, they'd still come home with a winning record without that victory. But what I wanted to talk about was Ben Simmons and his trade value, and I never thought they were going to get a star straight up for him. And when Morey said the only thing out there at the time a couple weeks ago was role players, I wasn't surprised. And honestly, I think Ben's value is getting lower by the day. And I think that in order to get a star, it would have to be a package deal. And the only really guy who interests me in a package to give up all our assets is Dame Lillard. Like, I wouldn't give up all our assets for for Beal even. And I think if Lillard does want out, everybody's going to want him. And I believe it's going to cost us Maxey and Thybulle along with Ben. And 3 months ago, I would have bit the bullet and said, let's take that, and we'll take a year to rebuild the bench, and then we'll have Lillard and Beal next year. But I don't know. After watching Maxey this year, I just don't know. I mean, he's Dame, but I'm not so sure that Maxey can't turn into Dame in 3 or 4 years. So I'm not so sure anymore.
So what are you most encouraged by with Maxey?
Well, I think the one thing, and you mentioned this earlier, he doesn't turn the ball over. In spite of everything he's creating offensively, no turnovers, and that floater. I saw the stat on it. I remember thinking he hardly ever misses it. And someone, I think Ala Abdunabi, threw up a stat that where he was 64% on floaters, and the next highest is 45. That's so good. And I think he can build his outside shot. I think it's already gotten better from last year. I don't know if I would pull the trigger anymore on that. And now I'm at the point where, I don't know, you would probably notice better than me. I don't know if this is realistic, but I'm at the point now with Ben, if we can get a role player with an expiring contract and then just eat it for this year, and hopefully we can fill it in a free agent. That's the best way to go, because I think that's all we're going to get. I think Ben's value is just not there anymore.
I don't know that the value is there, as you pointed out, but I also know that what Doc Rivers said is they don't want any more role players. So they're not going to go in that direction. They're just going to hold still until they find what they need to find, and they have enough role players. They need somebody who can make a difference in that way, where we talk about giving up a difference maker in Simmons, that they're going to do the same thing there, Mark. So I hear what you're saying, and the value may not be there, but how close is that value right now with this team, with where they are, with the league, seeing what's happening and how they view Simmons? So you might be doing yourself a disservice if you just trade him now, knowing that, again, league people are looking at him and saying the same thing, that the value is not there right now, but they want answers to what they are also getting back from him if they made a move.
Well, I would only do it for an expiring contract, because then you have the hope of getting a free agent, maybe Harden or someone in here. But without it, I agree with you. I'd rather hold him and force him to ultimately get on the court, because that's better than what you're going to get back from him. But if it's an expiring contract and you get someone in here while Embiid is still in his prime, then that's the move to make, I think.
All right, you got it, man. Listen, Mark, have a great holiday. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the family. Thank you.
Same to you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it, Mark and Conchi. We got everybody else. Trav, hang on. We got 10 minutes. 20 minutes commercial free on the other side, actually 25. So hang on, Trav, we come right to you when we get back to get your Sixers point. Mix in the Eagles still. Will wants to talk about Rager, because I feel like Greg Ward should get some of Rager's snaps, because he's not doing anything. At least we know Greg Ward finds way to get open, and even if it's 4 or 5 catches, we keep seeing Jalen Rager, -1 yard, -6 yards, 1 catch. Come on, man. Come on. Is it everybody else? I don't think it's everybody else every game. It's time for Greg Ward to start getting some of these snaps. 610-632-0975. Come right back. We start off with Travis. We got Mo and Will and a couple open phone lines if you want to step in on this Thanksgiving Eve as we run until 9:45. Warriors hosting the Sixers. Final game of the 6-game road trip. Sixers Warriors 9:45 pregame. We got 9:50. Tip off at 10 right here. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, look like we have some information on the game tonight at the Chase Center in San Francisco. The Golden State Warriors hosting the Sixers, final game of the six-game road trip. Per many people covering the team, they will be without Tobias Harris yet again, but Danny Green, Seth Curry in tonight for this game against the Golden State Warriors. So it'd be great to have some extra bodies out there for this team tonight as they look to close it out and even things up with a 3-3 record. If they have a 3-3 record after how things have been, because it has been tough, that's a remarkable road trip. But I said it earlier, and I'll say it again, that I've been encouraged, despite a 2-6 record, I've been encouraged by what I've seen from this basketball team overall. They've improved. They've gotten better. You see individuals playing better basketball, mainly Tyrese Maxey, who's up at the top when I mentioned that. But right now, the way that Doc Rivers is coaching them, the way the team is responding to them, and think about it. When these veterans are off the floor, all you're speaking about for vets are Andre Drummond and George Niang. And think about everyone else that we're talking about. Shake Milton, Furkan Korkmaz, and Tyrese Maxey, Paul Reed mixed in there as well. Now we start to see more Charles Bassey and just Isaiah Joe, the young players coming in, helping out, giving some good minutes, finding ways to win. I'm encouraged by what I've seen from this team. I really am. I am. I don't think I'm overstating anything. I don't think I'm going too far. I just simply believe what I see. And what I see right now is they are playing a good brand of basketball as best as they can when they get into the tough spots that they have currently been in, being shorthanded as they have been, even on this road trip. No Joel Embiid for the entirety of this road trip here out west. All right, 610-632-0975. So Curry and Green in, Harris still out for this basketball team. So I would imagine Green gets the start again. So it'll be Curry, Green, and Maxey to go along with Niang and Drummond. Just guessing. Don't know anything yet. We'll find out as we get closer to the game. Tip time, 10 o'clock, 9:50. Pregame coverage, Sixers, Warriors. Warriors 15-2. Sixers 10-8 on this young season. Back to the phones we go. Travis in the Poconos with us. What's up, Trav?
How you doing, Devon?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. I want to tell you something I'm thankful for, and I want to talk a little food.
Let's do it.
All right. First of all, I just want to tell you, man, I'm thankful for you because I work long hours, and I look forward to getting in the car every night at 8 o'clock and hearing what your takes are. I always like your demeanor. I like your opinions, and I just, I'm thankful for you, man, so thanks.
Well, thank you, man. Right back at you, Trav. I'm thankful for you and everybody who's able to listen and or call in. So I appreciate that, man. Thank you. Means a lot.
All right. Now let's talk food. Anybody that says mac and cheese doesn't belong on any table, I can't trust.
So keep
mac and cheese belongs on every single table, every single meal.
Yeah, I don't know what where he's coming from with this one.
Now, as far as that Utah pickles and cranberry, if you invited me to your house, I'm a guest. I'll take a little piece, but I'm not going to like it. There's no way I'm going to like that.
It's cool. Save it for the other person. I'm cool. Thank you.
The dog's not even going to eat that.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I'm out on that. And as far as something a little different, I know you're not an egg man. I'm an egg man. And we do deviled eggs, but my wife puts the razzle dazzle on it. We put a little bacon bits in the mix. So we have bacon deviled eggs.
Bacon,
that's my difference.
Bacon bits in the mix as you make it. Bacon deviled. Okay. That's interesting.
All right. Well, happy that's holidays different to you and your family, sir.
Hey, Trav, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. Same to you. Thank you.
All right.
You got it, man. Appreciate it. Travis, again, checking in. And no thank you. No thank you. When it comes to the, man, I still can't get over it. Cranberry pickle pie in Utah. Mm-mm. No, thank you. I did want to tell you about this, though. Sweets Week. You're like, what is that? Well, 97.5 The Fanatic presents Sweets Week starting Monday. Listen every morning for your chance to join the John Kincaid Show in a luxury catered suite at a Sixers game, right? And Tyler Zuli, too. And listen every afternoon to win tickets with the Mike Missanelli Show in a luxury suite at a Flyers game. It all starts Monday, November 29th. Listen all week for details on how to win. So you can join those two shows at a Sixers or a Flyers game. That's starting on Monday, Sweet Week, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. That's pretty cool to get to hang out and do those things and enjoy a catered suite at a Sixers game and a luxury suite at the Flyers game as well. So stay tuned for that starting next week on Monday on the John Kincaid Show, going all the way through Mike Missinelli's show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's get back to the phones, though. Let's go to Mo in West Philly here on The Fanatic. Mo.
What's going on, Devon? How you doing, man?
I'm good, Mo. What's going on with you?
Oh, man, Matt Judon. Brother, you didn't lost your way. Hey. But, I mean, like, but you can always make it back.
You can always come back.
You can always come back.
Man.
You can always come back. But, yeah, I haven't heard that. Not from us. I mean, like, but that's a little surprising. I was like,
he said it doesn't belong on the table.
That's a rough one. I think he's from the South, too. I was like, wow. Yeah, okay.
He had some bad mac and cheese.
Yeah, he really did. But I'm just calling a couple points in terms of like the Ben Simmons thing. Did you watch the Gonzaga UCLA game?
I did not. I was here, so I couldn't watch. But I saw it popping up on social media. Yeah.
Now, if we could get Chet Holmgren, if somehow we could trade Ben Simmons to one of these bad teams for, you know, maybe some, like, high-priced players, but definitely their number one pick, oh, my gosh. Mm. That guy is one heck of a player.
So I've seen him through high school where, of course, I've seen many clips of him and the work that he was doing in high school now with Gonzaga and how he's playing so well so far, and they're still number one ranked in the country. So what is it about him? Because For a minute, I'm like, yeah, you can see the skill. He's small. How's it going to translate?
He just really has, like, he has that dog in him. Like, I've seen him, like, he doesn't back down on defense. He's long, and he just has something inside of him that plays much bigger than, like, that lanky frame that you see. Like, he's not as athletic. As I don't want to be disrespectful. He's not as athletic as KG, but he reminds me of KG. He does. He really does. Like, he's that good.
Interesting. Okay. I'll keep an eye on him. And I like watching Gonzaga play. I love watching him last season with Jalen Suggs and Ajayi and all the guys that they had. And you see they still have Holmgren now with some of the players there mixing them in with Timmy as well. So I'll check him out. I'll make sure I catch up to him.
Yeah, for sure. But because I think the Sixers are actually okay as is, you know, when they're healthy, when everybody's, you know, they're playing, I think we actually have, you know, a good playoff team. So why not, instead of getting somebody, like, you know, like that star that you wanted, like a Lillard or a Beal, you know, kind of rock out with the team that you have now and then, you know, maybe try to get a star of the future, you know, so we can, you know, keep this thing going. If we happen to get a championship this year, that'd be great. Mm. But if we don't, you know, like, it's a guy that definitely could make us even stronger. So that's the way I'm looking, you know, in terms of dealing with the Ben Simmons situation.
Oh, okay. Man. I still want a body, a proven player in this league. It'd be great, of course, if it's a young player that's still, you know, kind of young in the league but has already shown himself. Where we know who he is and what he's able to do. Because,
gotcha.
You know, with Embiid being who Embiid is, I want to take advantage of his time while we're able to.
Yeah, one other quick thing I wanted to say. My apologies to the Eagles. I said they were going to get 6 wins this year, but it's looking like, you know, it's going to be better than that. So, you know, I'm happy that the Birds are playing well now. And, you know, hopefully they can get that playoff spot. It'd be nice.
All right, what number do they have to go in these final 6? To make the playoffs, what number?
I think you could get in. I think it's a possibility you could get in with 8 wins. But I think that more than likely, like 9. So if they have 6 games to go, four out of the 6, which I think is possible. I think it's definitely possible.
All right, you got it, man. Listen.
All right, man. Have a great Thanksgiving, man.
You too. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Yep.
You too, man. Again, I say 4-2 is the number that they have to get into the postseason. That's just my belief. Mo just laid it out. A few others believed it. But we've also had Mike and Del Rand said he feels like they can sweep. They can run the table 6-0. We've had some others say 5-1 to get into the postseason and really believe it. I think 4-2 is more realistic because you are going to be challenged by your division opponents. No matter the record, you will be challenged. You will be challenged. So, you know, buckle up. Buckle up. Seriously, it's going to be a tough one. It's not going to be easy. Not going to be easy at all. 610-632-0975. Look, I can't wait to talk with Will here from Brookhaven about this one. We talked a little bit about Rager. We've spoken about my thoughts on him having to take a little step back in the offense because he's not adding anything on offense. And I know there's not a lot of passing yards out there, but he's not adding a lot. It's not just coming from me who is watching from afar and have to do what I have to do to talk about them. This is from many people who covered the team, followed the tape. Can't wait to hear from Mike now. Followed the tape and Dennis as well and say that he's just not doing anything out there. His routes, he's not running the right routes and he's just adding nothing. And then, of course, when it comes to the special teams aspect of it, not doing much there. I want him back there for special teams. I'm just simply saying that he's not giving you anything on offense right now. So, Greg Ward, let's get some snaps in there, my man. Let's get some snaps in there. Your turn. Will in Brookhaven next on the Fanatic. What's up, Will?
What's up, Devon? Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Same to you, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I wanted to make a Sixers point, too. But,
yeah, you can take your time.
Rager. Yeah, Jalen Rager, man. I mean, me and my wife went to the game for our anniversary. And it was rocking Sunday. Yeah, Rager, man. He can't even play special teams with me because he doesn't move well when he's, you know, on kick returns. I mean, it's like, what does he do? And it's like,
I don't know.
Like, I mean, I know next year's draft is coming in April. Like, could you see how he possibly, even though we got three first rounds, like trading back again, maybe getting an extra pick for 2023 or maybe getting an extra second round pick and possibly trading Rager to a team that needs a wide receiver, and we just pick up one in the draft?
I don't know that he's ready to give up on him so soon.
I know. I know he probably likes not.
Yeah, he likes to make sure that he tries to justify those picks that he makes.
Yeah.
And J.J. Arcega-Whiteside's still there, right? And
yeah.
All right, they can talk about all the blocking they want. That's not what they drafted him for. They drafted him to be a guy who can get up to the high point, jump over some receivers and get D-backs and get those passes, red zone target, all that. And now they're talking about how good his blocking is. And look, you obviously need that when you get down the field, make sure there's no holding and all. But that's not what it is. So the justification of when they do this, yeah, absolutely. He's not going to trade Jalen Rager. They're going to do everything in their power to make sure that that this thing works and show that, hey, Justin Jefferson is just Justin Jefferson, but we still have a decent player.
Yeah, he's not going to own up to the mistake he made picking Rager up.
Shh, man.
But I was wondering, did you see that Sixers sent fan-sided trade, three-team trade, with New Orleans, Sacramento, and the Sixers?
No, I didn't see this one. All right, so give us this one.
All right, it said Ben Simmons will go to Sacramento, De'Aaron Fox will go to New Orleans, and we would get Brandon Ingram, a draft pick from Sacramento in 2022, and then we would get New Orleans via Milwaukee in 2025 draft pick.
So I guess you prefer De'Aaron Fox over Brandon Ingram or Brandon Ingram over De'Aaron Fox?
No, De'Aaron Fox is going to
No, I know, but I'm just saying,
yeah, I was
seeing Fox go to New Orleans, some people might be, oh, no, I wanted that player instead of Brandon Ingram. So, you know what I'm saying? So I guess it's your choice of the player that you like best and what you feel works best for this team.
I actually like Ingram. I mean, as far as the wing play spot. Actually, because I want Maxey to be the point. I actually like Ingram.
I like Ingram, too.
We'll pick up the extra pick too. So
yeah, now you're talking about extra picks. So I would probably lean there. And I've been a big De'Aaron Fox guy. With any discussion, I would want him first and foremost. That has to start the conversation. They contend that he's not available. What? All right, go ahead. Keep being Sacramento Kings and see how that works out. But wow, I would take Brandon Ingram. I would. Now you're talking about adding more scoring. You lack in defense, but you are adding more scoring. So Matisse Thybulle is going to have to step his game up a little bit more and certainly continue to play at the level that he does defensively.
Well, I mean, Brandon Ingram's defense is not, you know, too bad either. I mean, he can play. I mean, he's not like.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, he needs to rebound a little better, but, I mean, he can play. He can play some D.
But see, you know how that is. That's effort. And is he going to give the effort? And I remember I was talking to Brian in Plymouth Meeting about this last week when we brought up Brandon Ingram, and he was against it a little because felt like, you know, he's just one of these guys that's like a loser to basically put it out there. And my only thing was, as we had the discussion, we disagreed, and we came to the end, we disagreed, and it was all good. It was just, has he just been in losing situations with the Lakers and how they were rebuilding after Kobe? And then you go to New Orleans, and David Griffin doesn't know what the heck he's doing right now, how he wants to build that team.
Yeah, I think it's probably the teams he's on. Because, I mean, if he came here, I think it would be a different situation. And, you know, we got the coaches that would coach him up. So, yeah, I think it's the situation he's in.
All right, man. You heard about the cranberry pickle pie in Utah.
Nah.
Not touching that, right?
Nah.
Anything different on your family's table? Than the norm, of course.
Not really. It's basically the same norm. I mean, I wouldn't mind something different, but I stick to the, you know, old school same stuff.
Stick to the basics.
Yeah, basics, man.
Stick to the basics. It all works. Can never go wrong.
Can never go wrong.
Well, you can't go wrong with it, man. Enjoy it tomorrow, Will. Thanks, man.
You too.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. Can't go wrong. De'Aaron Fox to New Orleans. Simmons to Sacramento with some picks coming here with Brandon Ingram. I would do it. I would do it. I'm getting an all-star level player. Yes, he put up a lot of points and he put up a lot of shots on the bad team. Yes, he did. He absolutely did. I would take it, though. I would take it. Yep, I would. I would absolutely take it. I'm better. I mean, I'm already a good scoring team, a really good scoring team. Right now, they are eighth in the NBA in points per game. Pardon me, that's the I was looking at something else. Right now, let me look at it really fast. That was the Eagles' 8th points in the game. I have to look at my other part of my notes here, where as far as points go, the Sixers are now 14th. Well, Golden State is first with 114.2 a night. But their offensive rating is third at 112.2, right behind the Golden State Warriors at 112.9. There's nothing wrong with adding more offense. The question is, will he buy it defensively? And if you're a winning team and your coach is preaching just that, it becomes infectious. Brandon Ingram, I would take it. I would. Let's go back to the phones. We go to Dennis, South Jersey, with us here on The Fanatic. What's up, Den?
Hey, what's up, Devon? How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm great. I'm all right.
Good.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Jalen Reagor. And for me, I'm not ready to give up on him just yet, mainly because, you know, the team is really young, especially on offense, and there's no rush to get that guy into the offense just yet until we know that we're a serious contender. Also, I wanted to take into consideration all the film that I've seen on Jalen Reagor coming out of college. He was never a great route runner.
Right.
In college, you know, his thing was the yak yardage. He would catch the ball, you know, wide open, you know, wide receiver screen.
Good vision when he got out in the open field, right?
Right. And I'm thinking, well, he can't do that with this team. I don't know why, but every time they try to throw him the little wide receiver screen, there's someone there to tackle him.
Yep.
I think the issue with him, with this team in particular, and not being able to utilize his talents is, you know, they haven't established who they are for real, for real. Like, I think that once Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert start to establish themselves as serious, you know, threats, and teams start, you know, rolling their defense towards them and start doubling them, maybe even bracket them, and start giving, you know, other wide receivers on the team, like, you know, Jalen Reagor, open passes, he can utilize, you know, his yak yardage. I mean, he's still young. Maybe in 3-4 years, he'll establish himself or start to develop that route running ability. But just as a natural route runner, it's just not him. And he doesn't have the, you know, the raw speed to just run by anybody in the NFL. And even if he did, it doesn't look like, you know, Jalen Hurts has the arm to get it to him, you know, 60, 70 yards down the field.
So a couple of things off of what you just said, as you pointed out, they're maybe not there yet because they are still rebuilding. But right now, things have changed with how the season is going. Six games right in front of them that could be favorable for them to maybe sneak into the playoffs. And with that, right then, you look at where they are, and to your point, right now it's not time to develop him. It's more of, hey, can we get in? If he can help us in certain areas, that's fine, but we don't have time for the development right now. And you're right, those screens and all that stuff is not working. So what is he good for right now? Right now we're not seeing anything. So what's going on in the offseason? This was his first offseason to work on his route running, really, because of COVID and all that. You know, what's missing? Why is it not there? And
well, I don't know if you were like really paying really, really close attention to, you know, Jalen Hurts over these past 2 years.
Yes.
You know, with the Eagles, particularly that his rookie year, mm-hmm. and even going into this off season, but he spent a lot of time in the off season working with Quez Watkins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, running routes with him in the off season in Texas or wherever they were at.
Yeah, I would see those clips and stuff, yeah.
And it looks like, you know, that's his comfort zone. Plus, you know, he played with Devontae Smith in Alabama, so they have a rapport. I don't know if Jalen Reagor and Jalen Hurts have that rapport where they had a connection. And it seems like, you know, in a pinch, Jalen Hurts is always going to look for Devontae Smith, or he's going to look for Quez, or
wouldn't
he's
going to
look for Yeah, I would too, but it's like, it almost seems like he's not even looking at Reagor. I don't know. I'm not in the film room, so
no,
I
got it, and it's interesting. But right now, I just think while you're trying to win games, if he's not helping, I don't think it's crazy to believe that you can put somebody, Greg Ward, out there who is going to run the right route, find that soft spot in the zone, maybe, and then at least catch the ball. He may not get the yak yards turned up the field and leaving dust behind him. But what he's going to do is he's going to keep things moving versus just out there running. And right now what they need is they need some help, because what you pointed out was why they're still trying to figure it out. At least for these final games of the season, they have figured out that they are a run team right now.
Right. That's the main thing. If they're going to make it to the playoffs, they're going to have to lean on the running
exactly
team.
So when you do pass it, you got to make sure the people who are running those routes are getting open. Greg Ward can do that.
Right.
Yeah.
I had actually one other question for you on Tyrese Maxey. What do you think his ceiling is? Do you think this guy, or I want to call him just a guy, do you think he can be a perennial all-star, or is he just, you know, another point guard that can, you know, put some buckets up in the air? I don't know.
There's
a bunch of guys.
Question, Den. Listen, man, thanks. And real fast, pickle cranberry pie?
Oh, I'd have to be starving to try that.
I would say no.
Hey, man, have a great one. Enjoy tomorrow, and hopefully that's not on your table.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
All right.
And listen, I'll answer that Maxey question on the other side. Brian in Middletown, hang on for me. Mir, always great to catch up with Mir as well, and Brian and everybody else. We got a couple open phone lines as we start off the 9 o'clock hour. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 9:45. Sixers Warriors at 10 right here on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.